Right? Our subject is the dreamer. Bible begins really with the dream. We all fight into a profound sleep. And God fights a profound sleep upon man. And he slept. Now, a thing is said in the scriptures, say, the appeal to God, not to man, but to God, to awaken from this sleep. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Rouse thyself, O God, why sleepest thou? And throughout all the entire book is an appeal to God, who imposed upon himself this sleep. Now science, they speculate, and they get all kinds of theories in the world concerning a dream. But I have never read where any scientist ever succeeded in impaling a dream upon a theory. I can take it and really improve it and analyze it to my satisfaction. But tonight we'll take these dreams for you and show you what we really are here in this fabulous world around us. This reading is a dream within a dream. The whole vast world around us is not a dream, and it's a dream within a dream. This morning at 4:15, I woke. I didn't want to get up at 4:15. So I said to myself, I will go back to sleep. But before I return to that state of sleep, I took in the self and requested that I would be famous with an experience. A dream, or an ecstasy. Not something that I've never had before, something different. Something that had great significance, and was very informative. And so, I fell off into the deep, once more into sleep. And then I awoke at 6:15, 2 hours later. And this is the experience that came back with me. I found myself in the apartment house where we as a little family of three lived for 13 years and 8 months, 145 West 55th Street. The same superintendent was there. His name was A.D. Pop. When I lived there, the side of the family, he had operated. The elevator was operated by individuals. But now, it was a push-button affair. And I started from the ground floor into, and the man started before me, and Eddie Park said, let Mr. Goddard, he called me Goddard. He said, let Mr. Goddard get in first. So I got him, and then two men got in with him. And then Eddie said to me, what floor, Mr. Goddard? I said, 6. But I didn't live on the sixth floor before. I occupied a penthouse and a duplex. And we were on the 15th and 16th floors before. We had the 15th floor, which was our living quarters. And we had this lovely upstairs, the 16th floor, sort of a playroom and a lovely garden. And there we were for these many years, 13 odd years. So I got into the elevator, and it ascended, and I got up on the 6th floor. And then I realized, well, this is not where I live. I don't live there. And the two men got off on the same floor. And I said, you know, this is a strange thing. This has never happened to me before. I never felt a man easier. But right now, I do not know where I live. I can't remember where I live. And they were not happy at all. And then I stood in this little hallway, the elevator had gone beyond, and I'm trying to remember where do I live. I know I don't live here. And then I said to myself, you know, this may be a dream. And if it is a dream, there's somewhere in the fabulous universe where I am asleep. Or if it is a dream, I am dreaming this, and I must be somewhere sleeping, dreaming this. And if I am dreaming this, well then, the chances are I am lying down. I am sound asleep, dreaming this now. At that moment, I try to remember where could I be? It wouldn't come back, and a thing would come back. And then I felt the feeling of being horizontal and sleeping. And I felt that motion, I'm horizontal and sleeping. I found myself on a bed. I literally would not open my eyes. I wouldn't open my eyes. I wondered about exactly where am I. I couldn't. I said, where am I? I would not allow myself to open my eyes on a familiar object on a wall that would relate to a certain position in place. I tried to remember, but I couldn't bring back, where am I? I couldn't. And then suddenly, out of the nowhere, the little word Carol came into my mind. Carol's eye. 1025. At that moment, I didn't hear the voice. But from the depth of my soul, that being which is my own inner being, my deep being, that is dreaming this, without the use of words, it said to me, you asked for it. I heard it without hearing words. You asked for it. Because I requested before I dropped into the being, having awakened for this being. And decided not to get up, but to go back to sleep. I asked for an experience that will be significant. Something that will be informative. Something that will be great that I talk about and tell the whole vast world the great secret of creation. And that will happen. Well, what is the story behind it all? Here is a speaking dream. Is this but a dream? I say it is. It is. The whole vast world is a dream. And when I read the story in Scripture, and when he's about to awaken into this world, it comes in the form of a dream. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream. And tells him of the birth of the Savior of the world. And then you have the very angel himself to yourself. That when Pilate sat upon his throne, his judgment ceased. That his wife sent a messenger saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man. For I have been greatly troubled this day in a dream because of him. So the whole thing was to dream. Now, can I dream into being by the depth of my own being, dream the kind of a world that I want? I can. That's the story. He's telling it all, and he is not diverted from his dream. I have his emanation, I have his pride, until the dream is at an end. He becomes one with his emanation at the very end of the dream. That tells us the scripture. He leaves all and cleaves to his wife until they become one person. But I am his emanation, his wife, until this wonderful leap is over. number, I did the 12, is projection, examination. And here is a thing called men. But how can I, in some way, take the same technique and dream in my world either, as he has determined to dream me into his own being and become one with him? I recall that in 1948, my father heard me for the first time. I started lecturing in 1970. Then the war broke, he couldn't come to America. And in 1948, he came to America. And he heard me for the first time. And after that lecture that morning, we all came home to have brunch. And he said, you know, my son, everything you said this morning, I'm living with it, all at once. You told the people to close their eyes when they meditate, when they begin to assume and to visualize objective justice. Don't close the eye completely. If you close the eye of that way, that means to a nicety. And this is the daydream. The daydream, you must have the eye ajar, or not shut. Just possible. But I could not deny my father's suggestion. Not because of my father. But here was a man who started behind the eight ball of life. No education. No social background, no intellectual background, but nothing, I mean, behind the eight ball, in the true sense of the word. And when he died at the age of 85, he could leave a fortune to his 10 children. He raised 10 children. I never once inherited one nickel for anyone until at the end of his 85 years. Leave to his 10 children a considerable one, running into multiple millions. And every day my father would sit in the silence with his eyes partly shut. And he would look and see what he wanted. He would control it by not closing the eye. And he said, if you close the eye, you're going right into an accident. Where your attention is not controlled by you, it controls you. And you go right into an ice cream. If you just close the eye, you can see what you want to see. And the whole thing comes to pass in this world. Everything as you see it. So tell your people the next time not to close the eye. By the simply bring it into a partial closing state, a jar. And bring before your mind's eye while the eye is not completely shut, exactly what you want to see. Carry on all the conversations that would incite the fulfillment of your desire. And do it in that way. And here is a man who is possible, who died at the age of 85, but long before he died, he has made his fortune. And I don't really believe my father ever did the dishonest thing in this world. I really do not believe he ever did. I really believe my deep conviction about my father. For I don't know about his father, the $10 feel his red eye. He met my mother when she was about 3 years old and he was about 8. It was a romance when I was 8 and 3. And then, when she was 18, and they got married, and he said to my little niece, so we did a fabulous party here today. Champagne is flowing like a river. Everything. When I married your grandmother, I could fill a quart, a half pint of rum. And so we had a half pint of rum to celebrate the union, this wonderful wedding. But he went on with it simply, what the closing the eye, and controlling his attention, and seeing what he wants to see, and he called it the daydream. The daydream does not differ from the nightdream. Say that in the daydream you are in control, or you ought to be in control. In the nightdream, it takes over. Unless you persuade yourself before you sleep to fade in with a dream that will be informed. And then you will do it. But if you don't, and you sleep after all the stress of the day, all the headlines of the day, all the newspapers of the day, and all the radio and TV programs of the day, that's what you get in the course of the night. That's confusion. That's a nightmare. But if you do it in this way, and he shows exactly how he actually went about making his fortune in this world. Why say the Bible has only one sort of dream in this world? All dreams, all beings, sing from God. There is no other source of a dream in Scripture. And if there be a prophet among you, I am the Lord speak unto him in a dream. I lay myself known unto him in a vision. And throughout the entire Scripture, if all God speak, but who spoke to me this morning? The test of my own soul. And it seems that very moment he was trying to entice me into a discovery of the self. For when I felt, I didn't hear a word, but I felt to that voice. I distinctly asked for an experience that would be unlike what I ever had before. But it had to be instructive, informative. Something that would share with the whole vast world, and that they would actually understand the great secret of creation. And the whole thing came in this peculiar manner. Here I am, I didn't know where, I have forgotten, where I laid myself down to be. Everyone has forgotten where he has laid himself down. Because the thing that you really are, that is in a profound sleep, is God himself. You laid yourself down to be. And you are dreaming what you are now. But just forget that you can also dream, for the whole thing begins as a dream and begins as a dream. So while we are here, if I can only catch it, and know how to dream here, as the death of my soul has dressed me into being, and has continued to dream, for myself as I have planned it, so shall it be. As I have purposed it, so shall it pass. No power in the world is stopped by predetermined dreams. It's a dream. What is a predetermined dream? That I shall wake my emanation. He fell in love with me. He fell in love with you. And you are unique. No one in this world can take your place. There is no power in the world that can modify you. In the eyes of one who sees. You modify the dream out here, the world of people. But no one can fill your sense. You are unique. And when you find the dreamer, he is actually enticing you, moment after moment, to find him. And the moment you find him, the feeling that really has led you into being, you awaken. And you will eat. So this whole vast world is what it means. So when the poet asks the question, if all that we see or see are a dream within a dream, and then in the same point, this is Edgar Allan Poe. He answers it. So asking the question, he affirms it. All that we see or see, by a dream within a dream. Now this is a great revelation of the name of God, and we word it in the same way that Paul did. I am that I am. That's the affirmative. Am I that? Am the dreamer. Am I the dreamer? Am I? And then come back in the feminine. I am. You mean I brought this whole that world into me? Yes, I did. I wish I could share it in the most intimate way with you. I experienced it this morning. No desire to get up or to see. Only using the self. This year's spring. Bring it forth in the form of a dream, or an ecstasy. Either one. To me, ecstasy is dream. Very practical, but more clear than this. Everything is finally real. Bring it either in dream or bring it ecstasy. But make it in form. Make it something that is so significant that I can tell it to the world and show it. Show the secret behind it all. And then that same seed at the test at the very end. You ask for it. You can almost hear the word coming through like the one word. I have heard the word time and time again. But this morning, they were not words, it was simply a mood of perception. And so, he was simply speaking. Just play with me. You ask for it. I did. I am for it. And here I am with complete attention. I didn't know none of them. And yet the biggest picture, same apart from house, the same heavy box was the super, the same building. And I got out of the sixth floor, which is the building. On the sixth day, he made man. Here on the sixth floor of the house, he's coming to the end now. Let us make man in our image. I push that button. Here's the sixth of the sixth floor, and this is not where I belong. I don't belong here on the sixth floor. I belong with the dreamer who dreams man into being. Not with that which is dreamed into being, but the dreamer. That's where I belong. I couldn't find my place on the sixth floor. There was no room there for me. Some things seemed right. I couldn't remember where I laid myself down to sleep. But I did, somewhere, I laid myself down to sleep. And as I dreamed the dream. And I dreamed. I dreamed. I made my mind go back to that experience that I think I've shared with many of you who are here tonight. Some never know. But many years ago, I had this experience, which will be the 42nd star, if you understand the 42nd star. Where he makes great joy to the house of God. And this time in question, I found myself in this enormous crowd, a sea of humanity. And as I walked with them, and they're all in gay attire, holy angels, God, very comfortable. I heard a voice, and the voice cleaned up, and God walked with them. And a woman to my right, a very attractive lady, in her late 30s, in all the allergies, coughed. And she questioned the voice. She said, yes, God walked with her. Where is he? And the voice answered, at your side. And he turned to her neck, and looking into my face, he began to tell her, it's not a country that I will be the one for her. And she questioned the voice, and she said, what? Is never God? And the voice answered, yes, in the act of waking. And then the same voice from the depths of my soul, this time audible only to me, but not to others. And the voice said, I laid myself down within you to sleep. And as I slept, I dream the dream. I dream, and I will be king of the sentence. I became so excited, I couldn't wait to be king. And at that moment, I felt these forces nailed me to this body. My hands became horses, my feet horses, my head a vortex, and my right side a vortex. And then I am nailed to this thing. As the voice of him, in the act of waking. So here the same dream of this morning, but he didn't see. First he laid himself down to dream that he's you. He laid himself down to dream. Just then he laid himself down. He is within you dreaming that he's you. And when he awakes, you are the whole of that world is God, dreaming that is you. And when you complete your life, you are God. And you will see the oneness of it all, not one greater than the other. No one, you and I might have had all of it. Some dream of these mountainous things, and I dream of wonderful pastures, easy lives, but you are right, not one is better than the other. So the individual may have this most mountainous climb, and he thinks that marvelous, but you are right, that's your dream. And others will say, well, isn't it marvelous to hear mean pastures? Or that's wonderful sheep. And you dream of that, so it's entirely out to the dreamer. Just as he dreamed his wonderful one into being, he allowed this wonderful one, as he took him to all the great furnaces of scripture, to dream and comfort all these things in the world. So you could just now take the most glorious concept of yourself. I don't care what it is, it is me. My father never had a nickel, but he got a penny. And today the estate he is left, he is paying, exceeds $25 million. And he didn't enter politics to get it, that didn't he? Didn't come from politics. He didn't come from anything that is subversive. It's just from his daily dream. He will sit in the silence, I can see him now, in what I call in Barbados, a beast chair. It comes from Devarah. It's a chair with elevated, extended arms. He put his feet out as they were elevated. And then he would sit after breakfast, which was served for him about 10:30 in the morning. Well, that was what he called breakfast in the Western group. The breaking of the fast that my father would simply have coffee early in the morning. Well, then what he called breakfast would be around 10:30, and that would be like our dinner. A good, substantial meal. And then he would sit quietly with the eyes constantly shut and see all the transactions of business of the day as he wanted them to do. Not as they could be if others interfered, as he wanted them to be. And day after day, he did it with the eyes constantly shut, that it may not plug into the night, that he could control it in the daydream. For he knew his Bible better than any minister in the island. It's the one book that he read. And he read it day after day after day. And he understood his Bible. He never read any other books. All the others were brilliant scholars, but they didn't understand the Bible. Any more than the brilliant ones today understand the Bible. By the time magazine came today, what is almost blood? Ridiculous to read them in this page today. Here is this fantastic power in the world. And when you see what they own in Italy, oh, under the guise of the prophets of the Lord. But they are really prophets of the Lord, but not P-R-P-H-E-D. They are prophets so differently. When they own 15% of all that is put on the stock market in that minute, and confirm then that if you will attack that, we are the only tax exempt holders of this stock. All of them pay taxes, but we don't pay taxes. And if you send us to taxes, we will sell overnight, and market will crash. And they represent this great mystery. They have the slightest concept of the great mystery. So let me tell you how it comes to an end. It comes to an end in the simplest way. You can't conquer. Nothing you can do until you win for the first. It comes to an end in this manner. Finally, Jesus Christ awakens in you. Jesus Christ is born in you. Jesus Christ and you find God only begotten Son and calls you Father. And then you know who you are. Then Jesus Christ in you tears the temple in two from top to bottom. And Jesus Christ in you as the Son of Man has said that fire of yours as a fiery serpent. And then the Holy Spirit in bodily form as a dove descends upon you and smothers you with affection because his work is done. And you have come to the end of the dream. So you have been the river. And you have been waiting the lingering day until you take off this garment for the last time. And find that you, who began the whole dream, you have awakened with an increased power. For there is no limit to expansion of God. There is no limit to the translucency of God. There is only a limit to the contraction of God, to the opacity of God. So man is that limit. Man is that contraction. And God becomes man, that man may become God. So then he sprang on the end of his dream as man, which is predetermined, comes in these simple pictures, four simple little events, all in there. So, start this night, and take my father's advice, who made the fortune. I don't think very many people in this world can be 25 million plus. Your family, it's not a public company, it's a private company. And he returned and given this sort of money. And he himself not once did he ever get one nickel from another. And may I tell you that he was not educated, he wasn't. I am offended, he would not have gone beyond couple of ways in high school. A man who loved people, people loved him. A shabby fellow of 6'2", 6'3", really. And just a generous, wonderful fellow who just loved. But day after day, 7 days a week, he practiced as though he was really a concert artist. He wouldn't let days go by because it was another day. He sat every day. And the only criticism he had of me was, I told the people to close the eye. And he said, we had leaves only if you were nicely. Don't close the eye. You don't close the eye. It's the daydream. And the daydream must be controlled. The nightdream belongs to the depth of yourself. That's the deeper you. And they will, it will take all the energy of the world and tell itself to educate your mind here. But on this level, don't close the eye. If you don't close the eye, you will be controlled. Then you can control the daydream. And this is while he is bringing into being his pre-eternal picture, and no one will stop it. No one in the world will stop it. When you read the papers and you read all these headlines that this country is going to take over and that country is going to take over, what should our president do? As everyone saw this occur, and they're all so wise. That is why I came home and just turned on TV and lovely Cinderella. So here was Cinderella. But I was too late to get up and turn off with it. And then came the great mentor, Mr. Littman. But I was too late to turn him off. So I sat and looked and listened to all of this wonderful what we should do and what China should do and what they'll do. The things to do that they can have nothing to do with God's dream. And yet a brilliant mind. His choice of language, his choice of words, perfect. But my laziness allowed me to see this thing coming into me. But how many saw that, I don't know. Here was this considered brilliant, brilliant mind, analyzing exactly what we as a country should do. And maybe his influence never seemed to write a letter. He may be persuaded, I don't know. That's not what it is. Close your eyes, test the Lord, and see what you want to see. Don't hate anyone in this world. If you want to leave something behind you, leave it behind you, but don't just drop it out, leave it behind you. Others will enjoy it. What I describe today, some of us enjoy more. I have a lovely maid. I don't wear things out before I get them away, because I don't want people to give me something worn out. And so, if something that a little love broken seam, I would say, now this is a broken seam on this shirt, you fix it. So my wife says, you might, you know, you'll catch on after a while, and you'll never go to the scene there. I said, no, you won't. Certainly all right. And so, you just don't wear a thing out and give it away. Some of them use it. So, just think for one more about how to do with it. Do you want to be wealthy? If you really want to be wealthy, you can. Do you want to be healthy? To be known? I don't care what you want to be in this world. On this level, it's all within the framework of God's plan. Because you and he are one. In the depth of yourself, I heard the word distinctly. He laid himself down within you to sleep. And as he slept, he dreamed a dream. He didn't lay himself down up there to dream me. He is in me, dreaming me. So when he's sitting in this New York City, or in my dream, standing in this little corridor, but in where am I dreaming? This current place where I must be sound asleep, dreaming this, but yet this is a dream, where am I dreaming? And I couldn't bring it back. I just couldn't remember where I fell asleep to be in the stream. But I was asleep somewhere. And then I felt myself on the bed. And then that wonderful, whimsical little feeling, you asked for it. But then what a revelation. And then comes the memory of that moment in time when I was an enormous crowd filled with this invisible, heavenly state. And the voice said to me, I lay myself trembling in sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed the dream, I dreamed, and I exactly dreamed in sleep. And when I awake from this dream, I see. Here I am. So this is the self. So tonight, cherish your glorious dream, wonderful dream, a little while. Let me fit that wonderful statement in the Sermon of the Mount. You are the other, as you have been, you are the other. Let us fit that, or as in the dream itself. Let us fit that statement. You are the other, as you have been, you are the other. And in that fitness, but in dreaming, and see it clearly in your mind's eye, and believe in the reality of this imaginal act, and it will come to pass. No power in the world can stop it. And then you will come this fantastic experience in your life. But everything tells Jesus Christ, you will experience. I was coming home from a funeral about a year ago. A lady said to me, who drove the car, first of all, she said, you know, our plane's in the back, and it's a lovely street standing in house. And she said to me, they are traffic. Well, I am certainly surprised, because of a man you think of Japanese as Buddhist. And he's Irish. And she said, they are traffic. Then she said to me, how are Christian fire? That's all right. Then she said to me, what are you? And I'm a Christian. She said, I thought, I could get some things, but I mean, what kind of Christian? Are you a Catholic or your Protestant? I said, no, I'm a Christian. So that made no sense whatsoever. I'm a Christian. Well, you must be a Protestant of some kind, or you must be a Catholic of some kind. You know, a Christian scientist, I said, no. Are you a Unity? No. Religious science? No. None of these things whatsoever. I'm just a Christian. And then I thought, well, now, can she take it? And I told her, I'm a Christian because Christ has been resurrected in me. He is informed. He has discovered the Son of God that he has come in me. He has lifted himself up in me. It was seven times four. He has stripped the temple of my body. And then just doubt descended upon me and smothered Jesus Christ in me with affection. That was the journey came to an end. And beyond me, turn it on. So whether she thinks me insane or not, I don't really know. But that is myself. I'm a Christian because I have experienced the Christian mystery. Not because of the actions of birth. That everyone here, you will one day, and so everyone, have the identity of spring. Because there is only that God to be told in the world. There is no other God. They try to make it into all kinds of forms, because there is no other God. The serving of God, salvation, how he emanated himself. Telling out the revelation. Took himself through the dream world, which is a horrible thing. And then completely yielded himself to the revelation. And they fused and they became one. Then God woke. And he and the revelation, his bride, were one. So let's go to the sun. Thank you. Well, I mean, any number in Scripture has a symbolical value. Well, when you say in Revelation, you find the 12 in Revelation and 144,000 in Revelation, all kinds of numbers. Like my friend this morning with the 6, I got out of the 6th floor. Simply, why did I have the 6th floor? The 6th floor is you have more than 6. But it would not get a 6th floor, it would be man. So 7 in Scripture is simply completion. On the 7th day, he rested. It's a mystical thing of a finishing. And the 8 is a new beginning. So the 7 is completion, it comes to an end. But the 8 is the important one in Scripture. Because on the 8th day, he rose, which is the first of a new age. The 7 days, so the next day would be an 8. And on that first day of the new week, he rose, therefore the 8th. The beginning day, because there is no beginning or end to an 8th. I will make it out of that. There's no beginning or end, not the beginning or end. So 7 is completion. The work is finished. And we rest it. Any other questions?
Yeah, but you have mentioned at one time or another use the expression woodland for this plane. Would this be equated with the dream of God?
Yes. This is woodland. This is the most important part I'm concerned. To be here in this world before the womb of woman is the most important thing in the entire creation, to come through the womb of woman into this world. And those who have not entered this world, and there are numbers, they bow their bodies quietly at death and in death. We don't believe in death. We think this is the only living world. But to them, this declares woodland, and this is going to be eternal death. And like there has never been great eternity who contemplate on death, meaning this world, takes up what seems to be in to those to whom it seems to be. And it is productive as a grateful conflict to those to whom it seems to be, even of torment and despair and eternal death. So if this world what seems to be, just as we said earlier, if it really seems to be denied itself as great as no reason denied it, then again, that was this world and death. But divine will is set beyond and redeemed man in the body. So here this world is woodland. And you're told in the 8th chapter of the book of Mark. And when the eye was open, he was asked, what do you see? Said, I see men like trees walking. I recall vividly one night, I tell the story in San Francisco, and it's just a strange reaction I've told it to. But I saw this politician, he's now gone from this world. He was one of the important members of the Socialist Party. A great opponent of church. A lot of one. Well, that he was his name. You might have read about him or heard about him. Well, in vision I saw. And I saw him take this tree and put it on his head. Huge branch. All of a huge big stem. And he tried to jump off the cliff and fled as it were. And he got a pat on his head. He got up, took his thing back on his head again, and made several attempts to really be this thing. And I knew that was not it. You can't put it from the outside. That's what he was trying to do with socialism in England. He was trying to do all these things on the outside of man. You can't do it. It has to come from the inside. And so, you do know these things if you ever thought of practicing. It's the most amazing sight. You look like the most fantastic sight. Yes, you're human. But there's growth from within. The tree grows up. We are the tree of life. And nature all the wise men of the world, as they tell, and all the gods of the earth and the sea, sought to make the fine mystery. But their search was always there. There is no one in the human race. And then it starts growing on the inside and it goes up. And when you see this majestic, silent thing that grows from there, as far as they now take what is laid upon me, a crown of righteousness. For it says, the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid upon me a crown of righteousness. But it grows from within. The tree turns out. After the body is split, all the energies that make up with this generation are turned up into regeneration. And that wonderful thing grows from your head. And your majesty beyond the wildest scheme of man. You don't put a crown on your head as a king does. That all these artificial things that are gay. This crown grows from within. And you have a majesty beyond the wildest scheme of the world. Growing out of you. You are the majestic. And so everything grows out of this wonderful color man where God infused himself. So in this world, seen from above, before it starts to grow, there can't be less that has been on this age at all. The feet fall of gate, and they call it wood man. So when the eye was open, what do you see? I see men, I see water. But when we enter the new age, just as you see the wonderful stag, when he first breaks forth, and the little things begin to appear on his head, they come from within. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. As he goes to the majestic creature. And it never stops growing. So the tree was felled. And everything was felled. And then the leaves were torn off. The limbs were severed. The branches were scattered. And no bird could find any rest. And no shade for the animal. But your toes do not disturb the root. Let it grow. And let the dew of heaven water it. And the dew of heaven watered it, and then it began to grow. So God was the one that fell. That was the tree of life that fell. He fell in Eve. And so it came down to the generation. And then my wonderful dream, there was a nightmare. And then comes the turning up of the energy that went into generation to regeneration. And then, if you could see it practically, you would want to help to get to the heaven. But it has no three-dimensional barrier to stop it. What you wear in glory, you bring into anything, but you couldn't, how could you possibly enter this room